Hello again, and thank you for joining us on the Providence College Podcast. I'm Charlie Joyce, your host today, and I'm joined by our producer, Chris Judge, of the class of 2005. Our guest today is Nick Saylor, a graduate of the class of 2017. Nick returned to the college this past fall as the Director of Training and Education for Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. He spent the previous 2 years with Teach for America as a middle school special education math teacher in Baltimore. A native of Bloomfield, Connecticut, Nick was a dedicated student and student athlete as an undergraduate. He double majored in sociology and in women's studies, and he minored in black studies. He was a captain of the 2016 men's soccer team that advanced to the NCAA tournament quarterfinals. Nick also served as the president of the Student Athlete Advisory Committee and sang in the Footprints Gospel Choir. A warm welcome back to Friartown, Nick.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the intro.
What actually have you been doing the last 4 months or so? Does it feel good to be back on campus?
It's awesome. I know every morning I drive in and I park, you know, in the development center. I sometimes have to pinch myself, you know, that I'm back and I get to do this amazing work back here at Providence College. So it's been great.
Good. Let me set the scene here for our listeners, Nick. This is a new position based in the Office of Institutional Diversity, Equity, and Inclusivity. We'll call it IDEI from here on. However, you have direct interaction with the Department of Athletics in addition to the general college community, right?
Absolutely.
Is your work also was tied into PC 200, the college's strategic plan?
Correct.
And the athletic department's strategic plan?
Yes.
Break down the position for us in terms of mission and what groups you work with most. I assume student athletes and students.
Sure. So, like you mentioned, it is a great collaboration between the Office of Institutional Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion and athletics to really create a position that works specifically with the athletic department, but in tandem in collaboration with IDEI. And as far as the, you know, population that I work with primarily, I really get to work with the entire athletic department. So while a lot of my focus is on student athletes and teams, I do a lot of work with senior staff and coaches and really providing, you know, comprehensive education and opportunities as it relates to DEI work for athletics, which is a really unique opportunity. Not too many places in the country have a position like this. So Providence College and the Providence College Athletic Department is really, you know, a leader in that space, which is exciting to be a part of.
Sure, sure. What actually enticed you to return to PC and to seek this position? Was it the distinctness of it?
A couple things. I know I was fortunate enough in my 4 years to really enjoy my time here. I felt so much a part of the community, and I always mentioned that at some point I would love to come back to PC. Providence gave me so much during my 4 years, and if there was a way in which I could somehow give that back in whatever fashion that be, I would love the opportunity to do that. So after some time in Baltimore, this opportunity came up, and people reached out to me about the uniqueness of it and how it really aligned with what I studied and what I was passionate about as a student athlete and the work I was doing in Baltimore. So to really kind of come back and really come back full circle, it's just something that, you know, I couldn't even dream of. So it was really exciting to get that opportunity to come back and do this work.
You've been back approximately 4 months. What have been your biggest priorities to this point, Nick?
Yeah, so it's interesting because the newness of this position and the excitement about the work presents some unique challenges. So I think the first 4 months so far has really been, you know, laying that foundation for what it takes to really make this work be successful. So you know, building that infrastructure of how we can really push forward this DEI work in athletics and really throughout the college in tandem with IDEI. So building those relationships with coaches and student athletes and teams, partnering with strategic stakeholders, really sort of developing and thinking through a comprehensive curricula as it relates to DEI work. All of those things have really been at the forefront of the first 4 months. and really sort of building a roadmap so that, you know, in the next couple months and to the next start of the school year, we're really, you know, hitting the ground running.
Do you feel you're making much traction at this point?
You know, so far so good. I think that part of being back and having been a former student athlete here, I think the barrier to entry is lessened. I think that there's a level of comfort, a level of, even if it's nostalgia or just an understanding that, you know, I've been a part of this culture for, you know, 4 years and really recently too, graduating in 2017. So I think that there's excitement around that. I also think that Providence College right now, not only in athletics, but just the entire school is really at a unique space when it comes to building and moving forward in this DEI work. It's not as if this work or this position is something that is, you know, out of nothing. This is something that has been at the forefront of so many people's minds and really, you know, been a labor of love for a lot of people in athletics and just throughout the college. So I think we're really poised to be doing the right work. So it's a really good time to step into this position.
And at this point, are you interacting much with the student athletes, or is it more, I'll say, at the administrative, you know, coaching levels?
It's a little bit of both. I would say that primarily right now, a lot of it is working with coaches and administrators. I think that recognizing and really thinking about my own experience, the impact that administrators and coaches have on student athletes is so powerful that really getting to the coaches, really getting to the administrators, discussing the importance and the value of this for our student athletes and really getting their buy-in, I think will have tremendous impact for our student athletes. I've had the pleasure to meet with a lot of the team so far and really sort of introduce myself and be a resource for them. But I think a lot of this beginning work is really laying the foundation with you know, our administrators, our coaches, and getting them on board and sort of moving from there.
You mentioned a little bit before about the advantage of being a student athlete. It's relatively early in your time back here as an administrator, but are you finding, at least among the student athletes, and I would think of definitely among the coaches, that there's a level of credibility when you come and speak with them and try to interact and, you know, put forth your goals?
Absolutely. I think that one of the benefits of being in this role as a student athlete and a student athlete here specifically is the understanding of the lay of the land. I think that I've been here before. You know, I've been in their shoes. I've faced many of the challenges that student athletes of color face on this campus. So I really think that there's a level of comfort amongst student athletes when it comes to this work, talking to someone who's been through it, and not someone who's been through it 15, 20 years ago, someone who some of our student athletes still know. And so I think that that's been really advantageous so far to kind of have that credibility in that space. And I think, you know, relating to them as, you know, their challenges with time management, CIV, whatever those, you know, components of their experience that are so a part of, you know, their time here in Friartown, I think that they truly appreciate having another resource and another voice in that space.
You and several colleagues several weeks ago, back in January, gave a Reflecting Forward weekend presentation on your office's mission and the state of IDEI initiatives. You individually spoke about, you know, several programs. Two in particular address student engagement.
Yeah.
One is ABC, mm-hmm. Advocates for a Beloved Community, and the other one is SDAC, Student Diversity Advisory Council. Tell us more about these and their objectives.
Absolutely. So as part of the vision for IDEI, we talked about ways in which our office can really be at the forefront of student engagement. So what we decided to do was, you know, formulate these two new student groups called the ABC and SDAC, Advocates for a Beloved Community, and Student Diversity Advisory Council, and really sort of infuse student leaders all throughout campus to really be at the forefront of different diversity initiatives. So what we've been doing is sort of surveying the land of diversity work going on campus. So not just in our office, but in the business school, in athletics, in campus ministry, all these different spaces where IDEI work is happening, and really figuring out ways to kind of get students involved in that process, get students involved in the creation of these things. How can we bring students to the forefront of these sort of initiatives? And so far, it's been really successful. We've managed to create two groups that are a very diverse representation of our campus, not just, you know, minority students, but majority students, seniors, freshmen, students. I think the number of clubs represented is over 28 different clubs and organizations between the two student groups. So we really try to get, you know, a representation of the entire campus. And we really feel that as part of moving the needle in DEI work, it's not just the same few people that should be shouldering the work. It's really a collective community responsibility. And that's how we think of it in our office when it comes to work with faculty and staff. And we believe that that's the case with students. So it's been really successful so far. And we're really excited about where we're going to be able to take these two student groups.
Great, great. And so these are more students involved in the regular undergraduate
community.
So what's the relationship there between that and athletics? Or are you speaking exclusively about working with, you know, student leaders and having them bring messaging back to their peers?
Right. So what's really exciting about this, about these two student groups is that because there are leaders from different parts of campus, we do have athletes that are represented in this group, recognizing that athletics, of course, is a leader on campus. You know, we are at the forefront of a lot of things. So grabbing student athletes in that to be a part of that group, but also recognizing that one of the challenges that we have in athletics is, you know, making sure that, you know, in our world, we're being a part of the entire campus community. So finding ways to collaborate with other student groups, student leaders, other offices is something that our student groups are really focusing on. So I think it's a really unique way to infuse athletics in that space and really sort of get that cross dialogue and those opportunities to grow.
And I would imagine some of the regular student body really look up to the student athletes. So you're getting that kind of a sense of appreciation for what they are and the kind of, you know, lives they have, time management.
Sure,
that kind of
thing. Absolutely. I think that there's definitely that component. I also think that even recognizing that athletics being at the forefront of these diversity conversations, I think is something that is really remarkable, and I think students have found admirable. And I think even throughout the campus, seeing athletics be one of those agents of change when it comes to DEI work, I think is really inspiring. So not only just respecting and admiring, you know, the ways in which student athletes carry themselves and the challenges that they face, but really seeing it from a institutional perspective and a departmental perspective, seeing athletics have such a premium and a value on DEI work. I know in our new strategic plan in athletics, creating a championship culture as it relates to diversity, equity, inclusion is our number two goal. And really seeing the importance of that and really backing that up, not just saying that that's something we're going to do, but really putting forth the work and implementing programs and really spending time in doing so, I think has been really remarkable.
Another exciting initiative with a catchy title, I might add, is that you're managing is Wisdom Over Waffles.
Absolutely.
Definitely get your attention. Yeah,
yes, it does.
What's that all about?
Yeah, so, you know, when I first got here, I was trying to think of ways in which to engage, especially our staff, administration, and coaches, and really sort of use the collective wisdom of everybody in the room to push forward some conversations as it relates to DEI. So I thought, you know, how could we bring people together to talk about those spaces? And chicken and waffles and conversation around diversity, equity, inclusion has certainly done the trick. So it's a monthly sort of initiative where we bring together, you know, different members of the athletic department to engage in conversation, activities, food, fellowship, and really sort of having constant conversation as it relates to diversity work and how it impacts us on a day-to-day basis. Oftentimes, You'll have these conversations when something happens and it's reactive and it just is isolated in that one sort of lunch or that one sort of moment. The goal here is to really create this ongoing conversation. So having it standing every single month and people understand what it's about, not just the same people showing up, but really getting a multitude of people to get together to really have those conversations and really enter into some of them being difficult, but really understanding that just like with our student athletes, having those difficult practices and having those difficult conversations and difficult moments is where we truly grow. When we stay comfortable and when we don't push ourselves in that space, we don't really move the needle forward, just like we would in the weight room or on the soccer field or vice versa. So that's kind of the goal there, is to really push those conversations forward and doing so in a supporting environment.
I was going to say, the tone obviously sounds very, very genuine.
Yeah.
There's no question. And that's what you want. Right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think for me, it's been great because I think it shows, you know, that these conversations and the desire to have this opportunity has been there before I got here. So I think what I'm really passionate about and something that excites me as someone stepping into this new role is that a lot of it is facilitating the things that the desires that are already within our department. So really giving the space and the platform for the work that people want to engage in. We're having our third one next week. And what's great is people are asking for suggestions. Hey, can you move it to this time so I could be a part of it? And there's so much engagement and buy-in because the need is there and the desire is there. And so really just kind of giving it that space, and doing so over some great food. You know, you can't beat it. Sodexo's been doing a great job, so I appreciate them.
Great. Shifting gears, what was your service with Teach for America like the last couple of years? And were there any experiences or outcomes that relate to what you're doing now?
Yeah, I truly enjoy my time at Baltimore and Teach for America. I think that being a part of the Teach for America cohort did prepare me to step into this role. I think like any educator, you know, whether that's lesson planning or thinking about learning outcomes and really having to do so on a day-to-day basis for the success of your students, the time management, similarly to when you're a student athlete, when you're a teacher, you have so many things that you have to balance, so many students that you have to work with at all different sorts of spaces and learning styles and where they are and really figuring out how to best address that for each student so that they can be the most successful that they can be. Taking that and thinking about it in a DEI lens, thinking about, okay, well, I'm here at this space. Not everybody is at the same place and not everybody needs the same thing. Like a true educator, you figure out what are the ways in which I could address what this coach needs and what this student athlete needs in this department, and thinking about that and really being strategic in doing so. So I think Teach for America certainly helped me do that. Definitely differentiation and being a special educator, that's at the core of what you do. And so I'm always grateful for my time in Baltimore. I still talk to a lot of folk there, and I appreciate all that they do, and they've been supportive of me moving back up here. I know they missed me, but it's definitely, Teach for America definitely prepared me, and I'm very grateful for that experience, and I highly recommend it to students and student athletes specifically.
What would be your long-term hope or goal for the new position here, Nick?
That's the million-dollar question, right? I think that for me, I think really creating the opportunity for this work to really be shared, right? Oftentimes with DEI work, and you see this in different departments and different colleges, you know, you have one office and these six people shoulder everything diversity related as it comes to the college. And so really when we think about true sort of equity and really making inclusion and belonging possible, it really takes everyone. And I think for me, being able to get everybody on board and moving in the right direction is something that I really would hope for this position. And that takes time, and that takes, you know, surveying of the land, that takes some trial and error, that takes a lot of different things, but I think when we put our mind to something as a department, we can really, you know, get the, you know, ball rolling. For instance, you know, when I was here as a student athlete, the conversation around student athlete mental health was kind of just beginning, right? And even in my senior year when I was a SAC president, we really started to kind of get that going a bit. And now coming back, seeing so much energy and passion behind student athlete mental health, to me, demonstrates that when our department is really behind something and believes in something, we can be the leaders, you know, not only in the state, but in the Big East and throughout the country when it comes to whatever we put our mind to. So for me, I'm really hoping that we can sort of do that same sort of thing as it relates to DEI work, because I know that when we're together, when Friartown is really moving in the same direction, there's nothing that's stopping us. So that's the hope.
Great, great. You know, this has been a really enlightening conversation today. We're going to have you back on.
I would love to
later
be back.
In the program, no question about it. So thank you so much for being our guest today, Nick.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
And thanks to you, our listeners, for joining us on the Providence College Podcast. You can subscribe to the podcast in all the usual places: Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, and YouTube. Thanks again to our producer, Chris Judge. I'm Charlie Joyce. Until next time.